Watching from the window of the keep, it seemed to Baron Gaza that the sky was on fire, with pieces of burning cloth dropping into the streets everywhere, embers swirling thick as sand fleas over the adobe buildings. Several roofs were already smoldering, others blazing away, orange tongues licking at the stars. For some reason, his wives were terrified of the outlanders and wouldn't allow him any closer than he was to an open window. As if somebody could accurately shoot a long blaster this high.
They didn't breach my private armory, did they?
Gaza shifted uncomfortably on the stool. He'd caught a piece of shrapnel from the exploding wags, and a healer was cleaning the wound before sewing it shut. The old man was slow, but the best in the ville. Which was why Gaza had hobbled the man, cutting the tendons in his leg so he couldn't escape. Rockpointville had no slaves, but there were many different levels of freedom here. His eldest wife, Allison, started to nod yes, then shrugged. Unlike the other wives, the blonde had a gift, a talent, a feeling for things that couldn't be described. Sometimes it was so haunting it was like trying to hold a moonbeam in your hand. Other times it was a slap in the face that something bad was near. This day had been such an occurrence, and while she didn't exactly know what it meant, Allison knew enough to keep her beloved husband under cover. And still he had been nearly chilled when the Outlander wag exploded. Such a fireball. The room was lush with furnishing, a wooden table covered with linen and silver bowls of cactus fruit. Bottles of aged shine and sparkling clean water stood about for anybody to sample, and there was a huge roast filling a center plate. Pictures adorned the walls, and there were rows of books, each of them lovingly preserved by the wives and untouched by Gaza. Some bore the great name of Texas on the cover, but most spoke of things indecipherable.
Black dust. It's like sky dark out there.
The probe dug into his flesh. The old man apologized, and the mute wives rushed forward to stroke their husband and show the healer how to do his job.
Away with the lot of you! I can't friggin' stand it when you all hover around me like I was made of glass. Get out and check on my horse. Take 10 guards armed with rapid fires. I'll be there shortly after Hawk reports on the temple.
The slim redhead called Kathleen waved her hands in concern.
Damn door is jammed and they had to smash through. I already sent sick men to climb out onto the roof, so if the Outlanders are inside, they're trapped with no way to escape.
Allison glanced at the burning ville and signaled that there was still much danger and she didn't want to leave him alone. Baron Gaza gritted his teeth from the pain.
I'm fine, woman. Hawk is coming, and Darvis has been with me for a decade.
There were powders, even jolt, to ease the pain, but those clouded the mind, and Gaza needed to stay sharp. This Ryan was a tricky bastard, worthy of being a baron himself. Walked right into the gaudy house used by his officers to buy a meal. That took some major balls, or a hot steaming ton of stupidity. Reluctantly, the women departed to do his will, taking the guards from the room. Their steps echoing along the stone corridors until out of range. Outside, there came the snarl of a cougar and the scream of dying men.
Ouch! Careful, fool! Just because we're alone for a minute doesn't mean you can start rushing the job. That hurt!
Then the Baron stopped talking as he felt sharp steel pressing hard to his throat, the body of the healer warm against his back.
Did you think I would forget? Or forgive?
The old man forced the knife harder into Gaza's flesh until a thin line of blood formed along the blade.
You took my daughter screaming to your bed, then sold her to the devils as a gaudy slut when she didn't bear you a child.
Please, no.
Gaza begged pathetically for his life, reaching for his blaster, only to find the holster empty. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw the weapon lying on the table near the roast. When had the wrinkly taken the blaster?
Let me live. I'll give you anything you want. Horses, women, blasters, anything you desire.
Sliding the blade along the soft skin, cutting new avenues of crimson, Darvis leaned in close and breathed in the Baron's ear, sending chills down his spine.
Anything?
Name it. Take my own wives.
The healer's spittle struck the cheek of the trembling Baron.
No deal, my lord. What I desire is to piss on your fucking grave.
The knife started to cut in then for real. Something slapped against the Baron with a wet sound. Blood, hair, and bits of flesh spraying onto the floor. Staggering to his feet, Gaza saw Hawk walking in from the doorway, his blaster firing again and again into the limp body of the Whitehair.
Damn traitor. Good thing I arrived when I did.
Hawk kicked the dead man to make sure the job was finished.
Are you okay, my lord?
Thank you for saving my life.
Gaza ran his hands over his face, the fingers coming away streaked with pinkish brains and a sticky clear fluid.
Nuke in hell. This is such a waste. It really is.
Oh, he wasn't that good a healer, my lord.
Hawk cracked open the cylinder and dumped the spent shells into a pocket for reloading. Unexpectedly, there came the clockwork noise of a hammer being locked into the firing position from the dining table.
Not him. You. You are the waste.
Hawk felt a searing white-hot pain in his chest and staggered from the blow, his weapon falling from numb hands. The Baron fired once more, driving Hawk backward, and the man went out the window with a startled cry.
Did you really think I would let anybody know I had begged a wrinkly for my life?
Gaza stared at the empty window, massaging his throat.
The healer may have been insane, but you were a fool, old friend. Such a waste.
Gaza holstered his piece and shuffled from the room, holding his aching side. He still needed that wound stitched shut. This time he'd have the wives do the job. At least they could be trusted. Moving fast, Ryan fired the Steyr without aiming, and the wall guard dropped the implogren from his hand, the shattered wrist pumping blood. A split second later, there was a blinding flash, and the entire wall seemed to shake as wide cracks spread out like lightning bolts, making bricks tumble off. Dust clouds rolled from the vibrating barrier, the horses rearing and whinnying in fright. Seizing the reins, the companions fought to stay on their mounts, and the rumbles dissipated through the side street. As the aftereffects of the implosion slowly faded, Ryan could now see there was a gaping hole in the thick barrier, reaching all the way through. Only some glassy rubble covering the few yards of ground to the black desert outside.
Walk them through.
Ryan slid off his horse and led it through the dangerous wreckage. If the animals broke a leg at this point, their escape was finished before it began. Everywhere on the streets, people were screaming, blasters firing, horses whinnying. A Sekhman also screamed on the wall, his shaking hands dropping cartridges as he tried to load a scattergun.
They're coming through!
Coming through? The Phoebes must have thought it was an invasion, not an escape, which gave JB an idea. While the others started traversing the littered passage, the armorer rode to the mouth of the side street and tossed the last box of 22 cartridges into a burning pile of cloth where the canopy had collapsed. As he raced back to join the others, the bullets started cooking off, lead banging in every direction. JB bellowed at the top of his lungs through cupped hands.
Cold hearts are in the field! Cannies and muties at the front gate! Protect the keep!
Incredibly, the cry was repeated by others and carried along. Soon the Sekhman on top of the gatehouse started shooting into the billowing smoke in mindless panic. Meanwhile, the rest of the companions had reached the desert past the wall, only to discover outriders pounding toward the breach. Climbing on their horses, Ryan and the others peppered the enemy riders with blaster fire as the Sekhman on the wall started shooting crossbow arrows. Caught in the crossfire, the companions had no choice but to leave and kick their mounts into action, sprinting for the safety of the night.
We can't abandon John!
Not going to. Just drawing away their fire.
Ryan clicked on the nuke lamp. The men on the wall shouted in surprise at the blinding beam, and Ryan leaned far over in the saddle and dropped the lamp on the sand as the companions kept galloping away. Thinking the outlanders had stupidly made a stand, the guards concentrated their weapons on the nuke lamp until it was hit and darkness returned to the desert. Already at the breach, JB started walking his horse through as fast as possible when it tripped and caught a leg on a jagged pile of debris. JB dove out of the way, just missing being crushed by the animal as it went tumbling. Scrambling to his feet, the armorer saw the animal was crippled, its front right leg bent at an impossible angle, badly broken in several places. Without hesitation, JB put a short burst from the Uzi into the horse, grabbed the saddlebags, then took off running. But the bags weighed more than he could carry, and the man reluctantly dropped the spare water and nuke lamp. Reaching the low stone wall of the boundary marker, the companions slowed their horses to take stock of the situation. The desert ahead seemed clear, but the outriders were still somewhere in the darkness, and the wall guards were getting better with those blasters now that they figured out it wasn't an invasion. If Gaza got his hands on JB, he'd be aced on the spot. They'd have to make a stand.
Doc, Jack, watch our backs. The rest of us, let's start clearing off that wall and give JB some cover.
Doc drew both of his huge pistols and cocked back the hammers.
All for one and one for all.
Holding the reins in one hand, Dean gave a sharp nod at that advice as he pulled out the Browning. Never leave a friend behind, or a cold heart alive, as his father always said.